All right, welcome back to the Delco Young Demoncast. We're changing it up here. Gina's with you live, and I'm in a room of middle schoolers, which I never thought I would do after leaving middle school myself. You can laugh. It's okay.
Okay.
I did the intro, so now you can be yourselves. So I'm sitting here. We're back in Kristen Seal's house, and I'm sitting here with Kristen Seal's awesome daughter, Siobhan, and a group of her awesome badass friends who are doing something really, really cool, and we're going to talk about that. But first, we're going to introduce yourselves. So, Sam.
Hi, that's me.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm fine, I guess.
I bet you didn't think this is how your day would go, is it?
No, not really, no.
No? That's good, though. You know, yeah. You got to keep things loose and having a good time.
Yeah, this is... I had a word, and then I just kind of forgot what I was going to say.
So, Sam, how old are you?
I'm 14.
14, and where do you go to school?
I go to school at Springton Lake.
Very nice. So you live in the media area?
Yeah.
How long have you lived here?
I've lived here all of my life.
All of your life? So you are a tried and true young Delcoan. Eleanor, hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And how old are you?
I'm 13.
And where do you go to school?
I go to Springton Lake Middle School.
And how long have you lived in Delaware County?
I've lived here my whole life.
Wow, awesome. Me too, guys. And Siobhan, last but not least.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on here. How are you today?
I'm good.
You're good? And Siobhan, how old are you?
I'm 14.
And where do you go to school?
I also go to Springton Lake.
And how long have you lived in Delaware County?
Almost 5 years.
And you have moved around a lot, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you tell everybody where you were originally born and where you have lived across your very young life?
Well, I was born in Baltimore, and then I lived in New Mexico for like 7 years. And then I moved here when I was 9.
So our Springton Lake friends are here and talking to us because, as everybody has heard about the Parkland shooting on Valentine's Day, our friends here are participating at a middle school level, a walkout scheduled in March. So of the three of you, who would like to tell us a little bit about what you guys have planned?
So on March 14th at 10 o'clock, we're going to be walking out of school for 17 minutes to honor the 17 people who died at the shooting. And we've had this planned for, I think, a couple weeks now. And we have a good number of people who are going to do it with us.
How has the reception from your teachers and administrators, are people pretty supportive of you guys over at that school? Did you guys need to get permission? What was kind of the process and how this came about for you guys?
Well, our superintendent, he's behind it. He's walking out with the high school students, and the high school students, like, organized a walkout, so a ton of them are doing it. And a ton of us at the middle school are doing it, too. And some of the teachers are, like, really supportive.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you all are inspired to do this, and I kind of want to go around the room and individually ask you, like, what is making you so inspired to do this? Let's start with Siobhan, because we introduced from Sam around, so we'll start with Siobhan and work our way this way. So what has inspired you to participate in this walkout?
Well, it's just completely unfair that any of this has had to happen. And the fact that there have been 18 school shootings this year alone is unacceptable. And, like, the youth need to make a change because we're the upcoming generation.
That's awesome. Eleanor, what is inspiring you to participate in the walkout?
I've been inspired because I think every student should be safe when they're going to school, and it's just devastating that people are scared to go to school now because they never know if they'd get hurt. And I just think that since the government really isn't doing much about it, I think the kids have to step up and try to do something.
And Sam?
Just with, like, these past school shootings, I haven't really done much to stand for it, and I finally decided to draw the line. We need to raise, like, awareness about this, and it's also just a respect thing for the 17 students who lost their lives.
That's awesome. I'm so proud that our young people, the generation below me, is out here, you know, doing something amazing, and, you know, I don't think I would have been doing this at 14 is how I'm going to say that. So you had mentioned, Eleanor, about, like, our government not doing anything. You guys are aware that after the Parkland shooting, they in Florida that they didn't ban assault rifles and I think silencers, yeah. right? But then they had pornography as a public health issue, like yeah. less than yeah. a week after the Parkland shooting. Do you guys have any reaction to that?
I think it's just kind of stupid. I don't really understand it because our government is kind of ignoring our gun regulations and we really need to do something about it. And I think hopes and prayers at this point aren't doing anything and they need to step up because what we can do is raise awareness, but we can't change the law.
Am I allowed to curse on here?
Because
really, there's no other way to describe what they're doing, at least for me, in Florida, other than total bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Just, if you think that, like, in Florida, if you're thinking that pornography is more of an issue than, you know, guns, which literally just, like, killed 17 people, you're dumb.
It's a really good way of putting it. It's very simplistic, but it's very poetic, and I love it. Do you have anything to add, Siobhan, about our government's role in everything?
I think that the fact that they're just kind of ignoring what's happening by bringing up a different issue that is not as important or not as relevant is unacceptable. Like, mm-hmm. they're completely putting off what happened by, like, bringing up something else.
Yeah, they're completely deflecting the problem. And I can't even say deflecting because they're not saying, oh, it's another problem. It's not, you know, the whole, like, mental health thing. They're, like, not even saying that. They're just like, actually, the guns aren't the problems. But, hey, let's talk about this other thing in which, like, this is it's not an easy fix. Gun control is very complicated and complex and, like, we all understand that. But, like, nobody needs an AR-15, in my opinion.
But they didn't even acknowledge that it happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think a 17-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old does not need easy access to an AR-15.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's harder for you guys to get a driver's license than to buy a gun in some states.
Yeah.
So, I would be okay with, you know, AR-15s being at, like, you know, a place where you can just go and, like, shoot targets. Because that's, like, you know, the objective of those places. But being able to buy them from just any gun store is not something that teenagers should be able to do, like, just flat out.
Yeah.
Not even with, like, I don't know, a signed paper from your parent. You should not be allowed to buy a gun.
Yeah.
I think that the fact that guns are so easy to buy, it just makes me really upset because I don't understand how one person who obviously has had issues in the past, like, they're not mentally stable, it's so easy for them to get access to a gun, and that's been the cause of so many shootings because people haven't had the background checks that they need, and I think we need to fix that.
Universal background checks is, like, one of the easiest laws that we could pass right now that doesn't fix every kind of problem that is with gun control when we talk about things like the black market and age restrictions and consent, but, like, a simple background check, especially in Florida where there were so many warning signs, like, everybody from the school counselors and the FBI were getting warnings about this young kid, and, like, along the way nobody did what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, he could still walk in and buy an AR-15, an assault rifle. You know what I mean?
I think Trump was almost blaming it on his neighbors and the people around him for not telling authorities about it. But the authorities knew, like, everyone knew that he was a problem and he was still able to get an AR-15.
The fact that he was able to get it and everyone knew who he was, that it shouldn't be allowed.
Well, and that's what they were saying after the shooting, was that, like, once people started to find out who it was, nobody was really surprised because he had so much trouble in school and in the neighborhoods and in the community that, like, if someone has that much of a reputation or is known for having those kind of issues, again, that goes back to he could still get his hands on this gun.
Yeah. That's absolutely inexcusable. Like, there's no excuse for that.
Let me ask you guys something. Why do you think the government isn't doing anything about gun regulation, gun laws, banning AR-15s? You all have seen to have something to say. So why don't we start with Eleanor?
Okay, because they all get so much money from the NRA. They're all getting so much money to keep quiet and to not do anything. And so many people are getting hurt from this. And they're trying to make excuses for things that aren't excusable. And it's all because they're so greedy.
I was just going to say, I really don't think what we need right now is like a really huge political debate. And that's what I think the government is trying to avoid. But there kind of already is one just going on about this in general. But if the government stepped in with like a gun control law or something like that, it would just get bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Siobhan, what about you? Why do you think the government, politicians, why do you think that they are so adamant about not passing gun control legislation right now?
I think at this point they're just keeping their mouths shut to cause the least amount of controversy as possible to keep them in the clear.
Yeah, keep them in office, get them reelected.
Yeah.
So now we're also going to be joined by Lucas. Welcome, Lucas.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. And how old are you, Lucas?
I'm 13.
And what school do you go to?
I go to Springton Lake Middle School.
And how long have you lived in Delaware County?
About 5 years now.
All right. And are you comfortable sharing where you were born and where you've lived in your life?
I was born in Delaware, and then I moved here in third grade.
All right. And how do you like Delaware County?
It's a pretty cool place.
It's pretty much just an extension of Delaware.
Yeah.
Which is why it's called Delaware County. So, Lucas, what are your thoughts with everything that's going on with the Parkland shooting? What's your role? And are you participating in the walkout at Springton Lake as well?
I'm participating in the walkout. And the whole idea of guns getting taken away completely is not a smart idea at all. Like, if only the military were to have guns, it's not safe. Because some people like need guns to survive. Like, some people, like, hunt, like, in Alaska, they just hunt with guns, like, to eat and to survive. It's, like, necessary for them, like, in total.
And can you talk a little bit about what is it, because you're not anti-gun. There's a big difference between being anti-gun completely, but pro-gun control.
Yeah.
So where do you kind of fall on that spectrum? Are you completely, like, pro-guns, anti-gun control? Are you pro-guns, but pro-gun control as well?
I'm pro-gun control. But okay. Not entire gun control, not like completely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not all guns should be banned. Like, military grade, like AR-15s and stuff like higher than like a civilian class weapon should be banned. But anything like a hunting rifle is fine.
Mm-hmm. And I think most people would agree with that, right? And yeah. I mean, I totally agree with that. My whole stance is on everything is, you know, it's written in the Constitution that we have guns to protect ourselves from, you know, a tyrannical government and all that kind of stuff. However, like, at this rate, our government has drones, so like an AR-15 isn't going to help you very much anyway because they can kill you from the sky. Planes can do that now. So, but I completely understand why people like shooting and going to ranges and, you know, hunting. And so, yeah, but they're gun control background checks, right? Like,
yeah,
17-year-olds maybe shouldn't have access to guns. People who have a history of violence, mental illness, maybe shouldn't have guns as well.
Yeah.
So now, because you have a little bit of a different stance, which is pro-gun and pro-gun control, what are your thoughts on this whole idea of arming our teachers with guns?
Arming a teacher would not be, like, a good idea, because most of the teachers that teach at our school are, like, really old. So
yeah.
One of the things that's involved with that is, like, dementia. So, like, they could see something and just shoot it.
Oh, no.
Which is not safe for a classroom.
Well, yeah. I don't think our teachers have dementia.
Very diplomatic of you, Eleanor.
Just a wild guess.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I agree that like some of our teachers may not be comfortable with handling a gun. They may not be good at handling a gun. Like they're just I know they were gonna have the teachers practice with the guns, but first of all, they don't really have time for that. They do a lot of work, and second of all, spending that much money to arm teachers with guns, you could be using that money to help teachers get the resources to actually teach the students more things that are super important, and it could actually help a lot of kids who are going through really bad things and help a lot of kids who aren't going through a lot of bad things. It's good for everyone in general if the teachers get more resources, computers for the kids, but just guns, it's a really bad idea.
You had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, guns aren't cheap at all.
Yeah. Like, training people for guns is not cheap. Yeah.
Like, I'm someone who, like, shoots guns, not frequently, but, like once or twice a month. I go to a range with my parents and shoot guns.
So, my background is therapy. I'm a counselor. I have my master's. And the thing that I'm really concerned about is, one, especially in middle schools and high schools, our school counselors are few and far between, and they're very underpaid. For instance, in the Philadelphia School District, I think there's 100,000 kids and less than 1,000 school counselors to those kids. So think about the workload each counselor is taking on. People are slipping through the cracks, you know?
Yeah.
It's why, you know, Philadelphia is so impoverished or whatever. Mm-hmm. And here in Pennsylvania, we have a really bad public education funding problem, and teachers are underpaid, and facilities are falling apart, and there's not, you know, there's not a lot of resources that are being paid. So if we can suddenly find $6 to $8 million to train and arm our teachers, well, where is that $6 to $8 million to give you kids, you know, proper books, computers, good food at your school? Like, that's a big thing people talk about, is like the food you guys are fed, like, at school is actually, like, not great for your development and mm-hmm. not good for, you know, sustaining yourselves throughout the day and stuff. And who'd so I'm sorry,
I just who'd have thunk,
right? Like, yeah. Wow, the things you put in your body, like, really affect you throughout your day. And when we talk about, like, of all the things that money could fix, guns seems to be like you've given up on everything else, but you haven't even tried to fix everything else.
I would like to add that the amount of schools that already don't have arts programs or have underfunded arts programs, you could be using money that you're using to give teachers guns to be funding an arts program and giving kids a chance to express themselves rather than giving teachers a chance to own guns in a school.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say is, because I recently spoke at the Upper Darby Township Council about this, is that there's a really great study in 2015. Police officers trained people who are, you know, spend 6 to 12 months training. When a target is 3 to 15 feet away, they're hitting about 70 to 75% of their targets. But as that number increases, like the distance between their targets, that number slowly goes down, right? And then it's over, I think it's over 60 feet, it's less than 28% and whatever. But what that study showed is that's just like a normal target. But when they're like practicing, you know, a crisis situation, who is friend and who is foe, that decreases their targeting as well. So when you arm your teachers, right, like, and then you're going to have police officers try to come in and handle a situation where there's an active shooter on campus, one, how are we expecting our teachers to hit as well as police officers who are, like, trained professionals on how to handle guns, right? Like, when you hand a teacher a gun, you're basically saying, like, okay, you need to be at least as good as this police officer, because not even police officers are 100%. But then on top of that, my biggest concern is there's an active shooter situation, a teacher has a gun, comes out of the classroom, is trying to handle it, and then a police officer comes in. How do you distinguish who the active shooter is and who is a friend? So that's another thing to keep in mind.
So with this whole idea of giving teachers guns in the first place, I'm kind of against it, because there's just a certain teacher I have in mind who I feel...
No names. No
yeah,
names.
Yeah,
no,
I wasn't going to say any names, but I feel like they might use the gun improperly.
Mm-hmm.
And not
mm-hmm.
I don't mean, like, shooting anybody randomly, but, like, just saying stuff like, I have a gun, so you better do what I say.
Like, threatening them?
Yeah, I feel like they could just, like, pretty much just blackmail them into doing whatever...
Just
the one teacher. And then there's also a certain teacher I have who wouldn't use the gun improperly, but just wouldn't use the gun, like, at all.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of teachers would probably refuse to use the gun mm-hmm. if they're against using guns. And also, I think that even if teachers were able to use the gun to protect their kids against the shooter, people would still get hurt. Maybe not as many people, but still people would get hurt, and it's bad either way. And I think having more guns is not going to solve the trouble that guns are causing.
And I think it could go either way, that teachers could either refuse to use the gun or take complete advantage of the power that comes with the gun and use it to their advantage and to either threaten students or make their students afraid.
Mm-hmm. Lucas, do you have anything you would like to add?
If a teacher has a gun in a classroom, the students would know about it. So
true.
More than just preventing it would almost increase the percentage of it happening. Yeah, if a student knew where a gun was in a classroom, they could take advantage of that gun. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be like an illegal thing because they would have gotten the gun from the teacher. Mm-hmm. Not like they wouldn't have gone out and had to buy it, so there'd be no record of getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And if a teacher had a gun like in his desk or in his or her desk, and a student just grabbed it, then how would you solve that? Mm-hmm. There's no other people in the classroom with a gun to save that.
Right, exactly. Like, then you go into like that liability factor, right? What if, look, teachers are great and they do wonderful things, but statistically speaking, there's one or two teachers who are also lunatics running around this country on a good day because, you know, statistically speaking. So what happens if the wrong teacher gets access to a gun? What happens then? Or like kind of what Lucas was saying, what if the students get a hold of the gun? Like, what is the liability? What are the security procedures that happen when the wrong person gets a hold of a gun?
And then it's not just like giving the teachers a gun. That's the thing. What if like there's an unfortunate event and there is somebody else like in the building with a gun and the teacher ends up shooting them and killing them? It's not just like, woo, the teacher did it. It's going to be a long-term thing. Like, the teacher could get, like, PTSD from this stuff, and just, in general, the teacher, like, is going to, they're going to have bad memories from it.
So, Lucas, why don't you tell us a little bit about your thoughts on, you know, mental health and the factor that this is playing into everything?
Teachers are, like, are really, like, really like, good people, and, like, they're doing their best with kids. But some kids just, like, they can't handle the stress or anxiety or, like, the overall, like, just school in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we had more guidance counselors or more therapists in the school, it would help, like, severely. Like, a lot of my friends, like, cannot handle school, which is hard for them and me, because I'd, like, help them and stuff. And if we were to fund mental health even more, like, than buying guns, which is going to cost an insane amount anyway, we would greatly decrease the percentage of a gun, like, or like one of these kind of tragedies happening again.
What do you think, Eleanor?
In schools, I think that we need to raise awareness about mental health. I know that in our school, we've had assemblies about suicide and depression, but I don't think we've talked much about it other than that. I like, think we have like one assembly per year, and I think that's good that we do that, but I also think that people don't really understand things like anxiety and like just not having a support system at school. And I feel like if we talked more about that and schools got more funding so that we could talk more about that, then there wouldn't be so many problems with mental health.
Yeah, go ahead.
The last school that I went to didn't touch on mental health, suicide, depression, any of that at all. And the fact that this school touches on that is amazing. But we don't talk about it enough. We don't bring it up often enough for it to be something that people, like, take action about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that needs to change.
Mm-hmm. Sam, any thoughts?
Like, suicide and depression and, like, anxiety, anybody can get them. It's not just, like, you know, you're depressed because you're having a bad day or something like that. You, like, if it's been going on for a while, you need to talk to somebody, and nobody can really take that step for you. You have to, you know, go find somebody, which is, I think, I forget who, but somebody brought it up earlier that, what is it, like, there's 100,000 students in Philly? Or, in Philly, and only, like, 1,000 guidance counselors. And that's already too much for the guidance counselors. And if you can't talk to somebody about that, then how are people going to check up on your mental state?
And I think something that I think a lot of people do and don't really realize it is they just brush off, like, if kids say that they're feeling depressed or that they're having, like, extreme anxiety, they say, like, oh, you're fine, you just had a bad day at school, like, are you not doing good in a class or something? Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that, like, we're really having trouble. And I think that more people really need to understand that what we say is valid, mm-hmm. and we're not just saying it to get attention.
I'm sorry.
We were doing so well. Yeah. Well, let me ask you guys this. Who here at this little round table has had an adult, a teacher, a parent, somebody in their life completely rub off when you say how I'm feeling?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So everybody in the
everyone,
room, and
everyone.
There's five people, and you're in eighth grade too? So there's five eighth graders here, and teachers just kind of brush it off, like, oh, you don't really know what you're saying, mm-hmm. you don't really know what that means, it's just a bad day, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think, like, they definitely need to start, like, I feel like kids are often underlooked, like, they don't, like, treat us as equals, and I feel like that's a huge problem, because when we tell someone that we feel really terrible, and, like, they just, like, say, oh, you're fine. It makes our problems a lot worse. And the buildup of that can be sort of the cause of people wanting to shoot up a school.
I've had a very recent encounter with a classmate of mine like that recently, and I had said something about going to therapy, and she was like, you go to therapy, you're fine. You don't need to go to therapy. And I was like, that's not the case at all. Mm-hmm. And she just completely overlooked it.
Yeah.
Teachers and parents look at, like Eleanor said, look at children as not equal, like they should. Like, kids used to be treated equal to adults, but more recently, they've been more seen as, like toddlers who, like, don't deserve any respect than what they already have, which makes no sense at all. Because we're all human in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And having any kind of mental issue is a hard thing to deal with, besides the fact that someone's, like, invalidating that, which is even, like, worse. Like, it just makes the situation that you already have, like, 10 times worse. And it's just hard to deal with when someone just says, like, no, you're fine. Like, it's not fine.
Right.
So, I've seen people saying that the Florida students, the teenagers who their friends had died, they were speaking out against guns and saying that we need gun control. And I've seen people say, like, oh, those teenagers don't know what they're talking about. It doesn't matter what they say because they're not as smart as us because we're adults. And that's so wrong. And I think that so many of those teenagers are 10 times smarter than the adults who are saying that. And I just think it's completely unfair that our opinions are downgraded just because we're younger.
Well, also, there was, like, somebody, because I was hearing a lot of that too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, like, they're kids, they're emotional, they're upset, they have to take a step back and look at it from a window. And then I heard somebody say, they were like, so a teenager is emotionally stable to hold a gun, right? But the second they witness violence, suddenly they're too emotional and immature to grasp, like, hey, like, they think the problem is guns and, you know, the lack of gun control in this country. Like, you can't have it both ways, right? Like, a teenager can't be emotionally stable and mature enough to hold a gun and to get a gun for a birthday gift, like Lucas was saying, but then, like, not have an opinion that is anti-gun at the same age. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Eleanor was saying, if adults are just kind of going to ignore our opinions, why should they be giving us guns and thinking we're, you know, mentally stable enough to hold them, especially if we've been telling them that we've, like, you know, been feeling depressed or anxious about things.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a thing, I don't know what political person said it, but that there were crisis actors at the scene of the Parkland shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is complete bullshit.
I'm so gonna get in trouble. Your parents are all gonna come after me.
Let's just say BS.
Okay. Nah. The fact that you're invalidating someone who has seen one of their friends die, which is, it's already sad, it's hard to see like one of your friends sad, but to see someone die in general is like not a fun experience.
At all.
And, mm-hmm. and to completely put that off is just like disgusting
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. you can't treat someone like they're not valid because people who aren't shown respect are the people who shoot up schools.
Mm-hmm.
Just happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I unfriended a lot of people on social media who are sharing videos and statuses about them being actors and the kids being mm-hmm. actors and stuff. So I will say it made finding out the terrible, shitty people in my life who they are very easily. So, you know, silver lining. But yeah, it's completely crazy that magically, like, their crisis actors there because a student shut up a school. But
mm-hmm.
like, what is the reasoning behind that? Also, like, what is a crisis actor? I just want to know what that is. Like, is it just somebody hiding in a back room waiting for a crisis to happen to come out? Like, do they act at other times? Are they just crisis actors? Who pays them? Where do they come from?
On Disney mm-hmm. Channel? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, what?
What is a crisis?
Yeah, yeah. What is a crisis actor?
It makes absolute no sense. Like, if you mm-hmm. really think about the logic behind it, there's no way that the students that were there and who went to the school, that the government was like, oh, we're gonna pay you. Or, like news stations were like, all right, so you were born, you're gonna work for us now. Mm-hmm. Just go through your life during school, and when something bad happens, say it's... Say this and say that, and it can't be fake, because like having like being in that situation of like being in a shooting, you can't just say like, oh no, they weren't.
No, or just like that they're faking it or crying, or that the people mm-hmm. who are crying on TV aren't even the kids or people that went there. It's all ludicrous and completely like, that is a deflection. Like, now you really just don't want to talk about the issue. Mm-hmm. You just want to completely invalidate it and call it fake and fake news, right? And you know what I mean?
I've heard that, like, all the shootings that have happened are fake. Mm-hmm. And that's just the worst lie I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely despise people who put it off like that. Like, all of us are protesting this because we know that so many adults aren't. And so, like, we have to step up. And we have to stop people from deflecting our feelings.
I completely agree with Eleanor. I think it's our education. We get to say when we feel unsafe. And we get to say that these things shouldn't happen. And that something needs to change.
All right. Well, it's been awesome to have you guys on here. When is your walkout?
We're doing two, but the recent one is March 14th because it's the month anniversary of the shooting. And we're also going to do April 20th,
mm-hmm.
which is actually a full day walkout, not mm-hmm. just 17 minutes. And that's the Columbine anniversary, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think more people are doing the March 14th one.
Awesome. Well, you guys are amazing and inspiring, and you keep cynical old me, you know, excited to be a part of this. So thank you guys so much for being on here and for participating. You guys did amazing.
Thank you.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean.
Thank you.
Why? I mean, why wouldn't we want to, you know.
Yeah.
I need. I mean, this is just a chance for us to be heard, unlike being ignored by teachers and people like that. So if we're finally, you know, getting a chance to be heard, why honestly wouldn't we take it?
Especially being heard on, like, a much bigger platform like the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's an opportunity that you can't say no to.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why we're doing the walkout, to get coverage.
Mm-hmm.
If, like, a lot of students from a lot of schools do it, and the more coverage we get, the the more we can speak out.
We've been silenced for long enough, and I think it's finally time to take a stand for once. Like, we need to do this. This is important.
Yes, yes. You guys are amazing. And I can't wait to, you know, be screaming and hollering for in support for you guys. So thank you so much for being on here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Yeah, this is great.